This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the On Enquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Joey Wagner, and we have an emergency podcast today because Ryan Walters got paid. Josh Whitman paid the man that money, and the Illinois defensive coordinator is sticking in Champaign, at least for a little while longer, we think. Now, some school could get crazy and offer him a ton of money, pay a big buyout, but I think today's announcement that Ryan Walters gets a one-year contract extension on top of his three-year deal already is good news for Illinois fans that were freaking out about him leaving. Josh Whitman says, don't worry, guys, I got you. Here are some of the details on this before Joey Wagner and myself, Jeremy Warner, discuss this. Walters' base salary increases to $1,050,000 for the 2022 season, and that's about $200,000 more than he's making now. And then he'll have $100,000 raises in each of his two seasons that follow. So that's some big boy defensive coordinator money Illinois put out. He'll be a top three defensive coordinator paid in the Big Ten, top 10 nationally. The only two that I could see for certain were higher than him, where I think Brent Pry of Penn State and Kerry Coombs of Ohio State. So Walters also will be eligible for an annual retention incentives of at least $250,000 per season. That's big money if he's still on the staff. And then another interesting thing that Illinois released today, the buyout of this contract. And we'll dive into this. His contract includes a $1 million buyout for any non-head coaching position in the Big Ten and a $750,000 buyout for any non-head coaching position outside of the Big Ten. So basically, if you want to steal Ryan Walters as an assistant, you and he will have to pay a decent chunk of change. So, Joey Wagner, I give you the floor after a weekend off. You come back to this news. What do you think?
It's a big move, right, by Josh Whitman to come in. And I know we'll get into this, the basketball ordeal of the summer. But to come in and say, this is our guy, right? Like, and for him and Brett Bielema to stand up basically hand in hand with Ryan Walters in the middle of them, this is our guy going forward. And it's a big statement, right? It's a statement that they're going to be able to take on the recruiting trail. It's a statement that I think, like, I'd have to imagine if you're recruiting a kid at another school, you're probably saying, hey, you know, I know you like this guy, but what's, you know, is he going to be around for your whole, you know, even half of your 4 years, right? And like, it's kind of, it is recruiting again, so it's a really nice way to do it, right? Like, hey, he's really good. He's probably going to be gone. But to come in and just get it done now, because this is the carousel is going to get moving here. Like, I mean, it's already moving, right? I mean, the whole state of Washington needs a football coach. Like, Florida is a total disaster. LSU, I mean, all these big schools, and then the trickle-down effects as they start to go get their guys. I mean, like, LSU is going to hire, I would assume, a Power 5 head coach.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm guessing, maybe I'm wrong. Same with USC. So then that's another vacancy open. And then you start, these dominoes start falling and new staffs are built. Or we've seen a couple coaches fire their coordinators to try to save their own boat from sinking.
I'm looking at Scott Frost. Scott Frost.
Scott Frost, Florida. It's, I mean, so you look at those things and there's going to be movement, right? And you want a candidate who's going to be in those discussions, but you also want to do everything you can to make it really hard for him to go take that because you're compensating him well, things are going well, and it's going to be hard for a program to come in and grab him. And the wording that they use in the contract, or at least in the press release, is non-head coaching job, which to me is Bielema and Whitman saying, hey, we want to watch you rocket to the moon here, right? Like, we want you to go be a head coach when your time comes and do really, really well, but we sure don't want you to go anywhere else and be a defensive coordinator. So that's chips all in on Ryan Walters. It's only been 10 games, so that's the other part of me that I'm like, I mean, this defense has been really, really good. It's like, big guy. I mean, this isn't waiting around. Like, Josh Whitman needed 10 games, and maybe Brett Bielema needed less than that to say, hey, this is our dude, and we're not losing him.
Yeah, I got a lot of takeaways on this, but let's talk about why he's good, like why he's deserving this in his first year. And this is not new for Josh Whitman, right? Like, he paid up for Rod Smith after Rod Smith had a great first season offensively in a 4-8 year. And this year's a little bit similar in that Rod Smith was the bright spot. That offense in 2018 was a bright spot of a team that's defense was awful. The Illinois offense is awful this year, and that's why they're 4-6 instead of 6-4 or 7-3 at this point, right? Like, the defense has played well enough to have those kind of records, and Ryan Walters is a huge part of that. And I wrote after the Minnesota game, I'm feeling pretty good about that column, saying Josh Whitman needs to think about paying up and extending him pretty shortly. But the numbers are staggering, Joey. We know it's basically the same players, right? Nate Hobbs, who's playing Sunday Night Football as we record this tonight and starting.
Jake Hansen.
Yeah, no Jake Hansen on this team, basically, because of injuries. And Milo Eifler, who I thought last year wasn't even a top three linebacker on the team last year. So basically the same team. You went from allowing during Big Ten play 34.9 points per game to 17.6. Rushing defense, you've cut that by 73 yards. Opponents' passing efficiency last year was 165, Joey, which 165 pass efficiency is a Heisman Trophy candidate, right? And this year it's 116.9, which is basically an Illinois quarterback. So, like, that's how much you've cut down defensively. Sacks, you've gone up 1.3 per game. And last year's defense wasn't awful at rushing the passer. Third down percentage, you cut it by 7%. Turnover margin, you've stayed the same, which is the one thing Lovie Smith was actually pretty good at. You've actually gone up 1/10 per game. So basically the same thing. It's been amazing what he's been able to do, and especially mid-season here, Joey, because through three games, it didn't look very good. But he made the personnel adjustments. He made the schematic adjustments where basically they're running a 3-4, 3-3-5 now most times. And you're seeing guys that he coaches, like Sidney Brown and Kirby Joseph, skyrocket right now. I think Owen Carney is potentially playing himself into a training camp spot, right? Which I didn't know if that was going to be the case. Maybe he's a guy who can actually get drafted. I think Devin Witherspoon's played well. And then some of the young guys, Keith Randolph is playing great ball. Tariq Barnes and Kalon Tolson have been pretty good. And you've seen guys like Isaiah Gay and Tony Adams, who were in the doghouse through 3 weeks and got benched. They've come on and played really well. So I think it's clear he's really talented, right? And you hear his players talk about him and how he relates to them. Being a young guy, was a stud college football player just a dozen years ago, can kind of speak their language. It's pretty clear that they like that there's a young guy after the last couple of years, not to, you know, throw him under the bus, but Lovie Smith's a very different person, right? And Ryan Walters brings a lot more energy, it seems like, to that defense. And most importantly, just brings the results.
Yeah, I mean, all those numbers you rattled off there, remember how bad it was after Virginia. Like, this season total and all the per-game stuff is still a little skewed by Virginia, UTSA, and then they just got beat really bad by Wisconsin. Right, I mean, that happened. But other than that, that's
Think of that rushing total I just gave you. That includes Wisconsin. So, like, 157, you gave up 390 to Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, And that's really the only blip. I mean, I would say the only bad game we've seen this defense since September 11th in Charlottesville. And look, that was a horrible performance in Virginia. And I think so much with – I keep coming back to that game, and I just think it kind of is what makes this turnaround so much more impressive with Ryan, is because they looked terrible. Like, that looked like this was going to be an awful part of the season. We didn't know if there was enough talent. We didn't know how they were going to manage to swim through what we thought it was, and they fixed it in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, in the middle of the season, I guess early middle, and here they are now with a really good defense that's keeping them in game. It's just really amazing if you, like, step back and conceptualize a little bit of where this thing was. And Ryan, I mean, he made obviously the on-field adjustments, right? But just, he's down on the field too. Like, that's a thing that I just – and again, I'm not trying to, you know, throw Lovie under the bus here, but, like, it felt at times like you're watching somebody, like, this is how it's going to be, and by George, we're going to make this work here. And because this is, it's worked before, and well, it did work for him before. But I think you've seen in Ryan that ability to kind of mold and bend, and I'd say ability, I'm sure Lovie had the ability too, but the willingness, right. It appears more of a willingness to mold and bend to what's going on. And the safety play, like, those are his guys. Like, that is his room. And
Kirby Joseph was a wide receiver last year. And Kirby Joseph, we thought, special teamer, fine. But, like, they gave him to us. So let's be honest. They gave us Kirby Joseph in training camp. We're like, why are we talking to Kirby? And even then, he wasn't a starter. It took him 3 games to make him a starter. But that's an amazing development piece. And to put him in that position and to put Sydney in a position where, you know, he's not – like, he's making a lot of decisions now, but he's just comfortable and confident. It always felt like Sydney was kind of second-guessing himself mid-play or whatever it was, and he had a lot of busts. He's not doing that this year.
Yeah, I think he's right now would be my defensive MVP just in the way that they do things. And that's Ryan did a good job of connecting with him, helping him, you know, along with understanding what his responsibilities are, giving him the freedom to – Sydney's a really smart guy, giving him the freedom to use that intellect on the field. I mean, just so much has gone into it. And it's a relatability piece. I know you talked to the guys after the Minnesota game, and we'd heard this, you know, piece by piece. Like, yeah, he's just a young guy. Like, we share a lot of the same interests there, you know, just understanding of.
He speaks the lingo, somebody told me one of the.
Yeah, man. Like, he's really. Like, he was an impressive. I thought he was an impressive get when they got him from Missouri. And I'm still looking, and I know every fan base, like, is like, oh, the coordinators are always a problem, right? Like, it's almost always the coordinators. But, like, Missouri fans are like, see ya, man. Oh, good. You know, happy to see you go. It's like, I'm not understanding why, like, it was kind of viewed like that. And I get it, right? It's 5 years. It's whatever. Someone's got to go when you're not playing very well. But, man, he's been everything and more that I think we expected, right? And he's young, and just all these pieces fit really, really well. And he said it, and I there's a lot of truth to what he said. This wasn't just somebody, like, shrugging off a little bit of the praise. Like, that defensive room, mm-hmm. Like, I think he's done a really good job, and the assistants have done a good job, and just being open, right? Like, he could be this hotshot defensive coordinator who's going to be a head coach one day. We all know that. Like, I don't think anybody's thinking otherwise. And he could just say, well, this is what it is because this is what I do and I'm good at this. But it feels, at least in what we understand it, as a really good discussion of how to do this and how to play off of the coaching strengths, the player strengths, and all of this put together. Like, I think that's a huge piece of this too.
Yeah, by the way, Missouri gave up 32 points a game last year. They're up to 35 this year. I know it's the SEC. It's a little different, but they got some non-conference games in there too. So that should bring it down. So they're struggling a little bit without him.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I do want, this is one of my takeaways, Joey, is I think it says a lot about what Bielema thinks of him, because you said it, this is an impressive defensive staff that has capable guys behind Ryan Walters who could be the coordinator. Right, like if Andy Boo had to step in and be coordinator, he could do it. Like he's been impressive, I think, this year with the linebackers. You know, Ryan gave him a lot of credit for the Minnesota game plan, and we think Kevin Kane would be the next guy up, and he left the SMU defensive coordinator position to be an associate head coach and an outside linebackers coach here. I mean, that's basically a demotion in title, even if he's getting paid more here at Illinois. But it seems like he wants to learn behind Brett Bielema, but also there might be a Big Ten defensive coordinator job not too far down the line, and maybe it's still not behind Ryan Walters. But I think it says, because I'm sure Whitman and Bielema sat down and said, okay, what's this guy worth? Like, what's he worth to you? And Bielema had to say, like, this guy is legit. Like, if we keep him, we're going to continue to get better. Because he does have guys, I think, if Walters left for a head coaching job right now, he'd feel comfortable putting Kane or putting Andy Boo into that position. So I think it says a lot about what Bielema probably told Whitman about. I don't know that this happened, but I'm sure it had to. It makes sense, right? That Bielema had to say, this guy's worth this kind of money.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because I think when you think it's, like, the next would be Kevin Kane. But I also think, like, Brett's got a really vast phone book, right? Like, it isn't like, oh, these are just the only guys who could be because they're on the staff. Brett could make a couple calls and at least give himself a shot at a lot of coordinators for him to say, hey, this is our guy here, and really go all the way in. And I just – it's a really big move. Like, I've spent a little time now thinking about it. To do this right now, like, this is – hey, we're not waiting around. I do wonder a lot about the timing and the urgency of it. And I say urgency, but, like, Josh didn't wait until after, well, Northwestern at least, right? Like, to get out here. And I know the carousel is starting to buzz pretty good right now.
Carousel starts earlier than ever now, right?
Yeah. So I'm wondering if were they getting any information? Like, hey, he's really starting to get some calls here, or at least some back-channeled interest from other programs. We need to do something because, I mean, he signed an extension. He's happy here, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, we know he's happy here in the way he talked and to do this.
Yeah, let's speculate a little bit there, right? Because I don't know. Is Dan Mullen getting fired? I don't know, because he has had success at Florida, but it's clear they have to make changes because their recruiting's going down, the winning's going down, and he's an offensive guy, right? So, like, Ryan Walters can make a lot of sense in that position, but does it make sense for Ryan to go there if he's making a seven figures here and he's going to be comfortable here? He's not going to be under a coach on the hot seat next year and potentially fired next holiday season, right? So that makes sense for Ryan. Like, if Florida, say, reached out to his agent or whatever it is, and this is all speculation, right? But, like, that's one of the big jobs that could be out there. Or Washington is now open, or Washington State, or USC. And I don't know if Ryan would be that interesting to them, but, like, some of these schools, I mean, he's got a lot of recruiting ties in the SEC area. He's from originally born in California, but raised in Colorado. Colorado, I don't think, is going to make coaching change soon, but he could be in line the next time there's a head coaching job, you know, for Colorado. Maybe if he's here for a couple more years as a coordinator, maybe he could be in line at his alma mater. But I think it makes sense for both sides that Ryan's just like, man, I'm comfortable here. I don't want to go somewhere where I'm going to be in the hot seat and trying to save a head coach. And for Illinois, why would you want to give up some momentum, especially on that side of the ball where you think you can be pretty good next year, right? Like, to have some continuity with basically the same defense coming back outside of the outside linebackers and Roderick Perry, basically everyone's coming back and Tony Adams, right? Like, so I think you still have a great core there. You can add some key transfers and we'll get into that, but, like, it makes sense for both sides for me to get this done now, especially with the number Illinois put out there.
Yeah, I mean, it get ahead of it, right? We talked about it before we recorded. Basketball didn't feel like they were ahead of it in the off season.
So let's bring that up.
Yeah.
Is this Josh Whitman learning from basketball that he let that get to middle of the off season before Kentucky came call, and then you get into a bidding war, right? And it felt like you gave them a chance to go out there instead of doing it beforehand. We don't know the discussions that happened. Maybe there were discussions in April or May or March or whatever it was. But is this a reaction like, hey, we can't even let them get out to that full market. Let's just lock them up now, increase that pay so that we can continue this. And basketball has been fine, right? Like, kudos to Brad Underwood and Josh Whitman with the money they paid and the guys they were able to bring in. They ended up fine, but I'm sure Brad would have rather have kept Orlando Antigua.
Yeah, I wonder if it might be both, right? Like, you got to be careful being so reactionary. Yes. In a lot of this stuff, but I we can try to get into this a little bit throughout the course of the week as we talk to people. But I have to think Brett Bielema was a really big factor in this. He, like, I just, as we've gotten to know him over the last 11 months, he's pretty aggressive in the sense of, like, if it's working for him and he's happy with it, like, he's not trying to lose Ryan Walters. And so maybe some of it would probably be basketball if I had to guess, but I think some of it's just, I think Brett, in my mind, and I don't know this for sure, but I think he had to nudge this thing forward because he knows how this works too, right? Like him and Josh know how this works, and obviously the defense is getting a lot of buzz. So I wouldn't be surprised if he went and maybe either accelerated it or started to get that ball moving itself. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this was all Josh. I think it was probably both of them really coming together and understanding that we don't want to get this down the line. And maybe in the back of Josh's mind, he was like, yeah, boy, yeah, we let this thing get a little too far across the street. And maybe not, but I just think it's probably a combination of both.
Let's bring this up, too. To quote one of my favorite movies of all time, The Town, Josh Whitman is the not effing around crew, right? When it comes to his, and I would say almost every athletics program he has, I mean, the resources he is pulling in and fundraising and putting in this, and I don't have access to what his pool is of like what he is able to spend. But this is unprecedented. I know with inflation, and that's a hot topic now, but like everything, like money has gone up, right? Like Ryan Walters is now making more money I think Ron Turner ever made at Illinois, right? And Bruce Weber was making around this when he first started at Illinois. But we're talking about the leaps in the last 5 years are ridiculous. And this is why players, you see these coaches making this kind of money. This is why players have been really adamant about pushing their power to make something of themselves, because this is ridiculous money that these guys are making. But Josh Whitman just has put Illinois basketball in the top three, I think, in Big Ten in spending. You know, Brett Bielema was, I think, 10th or 11th in salary, and $4 million was probably more than they had to give him at the time, but you got to pay the price. But now this assistant salary pool, this is top five, I think, in the Big Ten for football, which is, it's a lot of money, Joe. I mean, he is ponying up for this football program because he knows how important it is to him, and he sees how much success they had when, you know, Brad Underwood came in here. He gave him the number one, I believe, or number two salary pool, and look what that did. Look what that did for him. And now Brett Bielema has access to that, and his staff on paper, especially as we've talked about defensively, is ridiculously impressive, and we're seeing what that investment can get. So Josh Whitman is the not effing around crew, just like in The Town.
So I come back to the press conference we had with him after they made the decision to fire Levy, and he said, I'm going to be all in on these guys until we come to the point that I can't be, right? Which is why he fired Levy. What all in looks like is giving them everything he can possibly give them to make this work. And Josh wants football to work. One, it's good for business. Two, he played there, right? Like he's all in on this thing. And he's saying, it's almost like he's saying, hey, I understand I've got a responsibility to get this car moving as well. And it's going to take conversations and money and to get all of this going. And hey, by the way, it worked across the street, and I promise you it's going to work here. And he's in on the guys until he can't be. And again, that's putting some pretty nice coin forward and getting Ryan Walters an extension to his house or something.
Yeah. Now I know, like, he has convinced his administration too. Like, a lot of people thought, yeah, how serious is the administration about athletics? Josh Whitman is, I mean, we know he is. Like, donors obviously know he is because he twists their arm for more and more and more. He's very convincing. I mean, he's got a vision, and he is intense and passionate about getting it there, and partly because he's at the University of Illinois, man. Like, I don't know how he pulls it all off, but he's getting it done when it comes to resources. And they're 4-6, man, but the defense is pretty special right now, and he doesn't want that to go away.
This is a really, I mean, not to veer off topic, that's kind of like a reality point for me when you said that. Like, they're 4-6. Like, I kind of forget that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, I get it. Like, we've covered all six of the losses, and like, we know how it all happened.
They're painful.
But I kind of forget they're 4-6. Like, they're not really playing.
Because
like
they're better than a 4-6. Like, isn't that weird? Like, they're kind of super weird. They're better than the 4-6 team. Like, I think even all the metrics have said that because they're so close. I mean, all these losses have been excruciating, and you sit there and they're still excruciating because what you've done against Minnesota and Penn State, two top ranked teams. Like, you have as many, Bielema has as many ranked road wins as Jim Harbaugh has. And I think Jim Harbaugh is a heck of a coach. Like, Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, he's got two. on the road against ranked opponents. I've said this before, but the four previous head coaches at Illinois had one combined, and that was at number one Ohio State for Ron Zook. But then, like, you lose to Purdue, who's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
By the end of the game, Maryland, who's going to go to a bowl game, most likely, like, you lost to them in the most inconceivable way possible because your offense couldn't score, but your defense has been one of the best in the Big Ten. I mean, we're putting them up there with basically everybody but Wisconsin right now, right? Like, that's pretty impressive when you're on that tier.
Yeah, I mean, I think the defense, I mean, I know it's the defense, right? The offense hasn't really been very wowing this season, but, like, the defense is why I forget they're 4-6 yeah. because – this isn't like games that we've covered where Illinois just been trucked by halftime and it's over, or Iowa scores 46 times in 13 seconds, you know, to got them 63-0. I mean, like, it just feels like a Big Ten team, like a team that's going to hold you defensively. They're going to do what they're going to do offensively. And Ryan and his staff, the staff, just all of that, whatever. I'm really impressed, I think, too, by the way that Bielma and Ryan and the staff, like, they merge these pieces pretty seamlessly. Like, there's three guys in there who were, you know, Power Five coordinators, right? And, like, this isn't one of those polling for attention. You know what I mean? It's just all kind of has worked together. Like, I'm looking at Andy Booth's tweet from earlier from the Illinois when they announced it, and he just said, "Hell yeah!" And I'm like they care, and, like, obviously everybody in that building knows who Ryan Walters is and what his future is going to be. And they're celebrating that. And that is, I think there was a good read on Brett to understand that these are guys who had all come together really well. And it's working in a way that I did not think it was ever going to work.
Well, I think that's a kudos to Bielma too, like, as you said, because it's, if one person eats, if this team eats, we all eat, right? And we all have success. And in such an ego-driven industry, and you could put ours in there too, right? Like, that matters. Like, you got to be a part of a team and celebrate your teammates' successes, because you get jealous of that stuff, then, man, like, that's helping your team, right? When he's good, that means you're more likely to make more money down the line, and possibly after the season you get a year extension, all of that. So I think that's a pretty good observation that they're kind of all celebrating this, even outwardly, but I'm sure it seems like they're pretty tight. And everything I've heard is these guys work really, really well together. The other part, Joe, before we get out of here, is the recruiting impact. Mm-hmm. Right now you still got some offense or defensive guys to add in the class of 2022. As you said, teams might be going, hey, Ryan Walters might not be there long. And it's not like Illinois doesn't do that to, like, Jim Leonard. Like, I'm sure an Austin Brown conversation is, Jim Leonard's going to have a head coaching job or maybe an NFL defense coordinator job soon. I don't know about that, right? Because Jim Leonard seems really happy, but you have to fight those things. Now Illinois has ammo. So if they want to go get a really important transfer like Antonio Doyle, right, who knows Ryan Walters because he was committed to Missouri and wants to be like, is he going to be there? Yeah, he's going to be here, Antonio, and you're going to be a big part of this defense. Corey Patterson obviously knows him well. That's just one example. Right, they're going after a bunch of DBs from Florida still in this class. Yeah, Cody Jones, cornerback out of Memphis, who's a four-star commit to Michigan. Yeah, like, all those guys they're going after right now, and a lot of defenders. You can sell that he's going to be back, and he's going to be leading this defense. And I forgot who said it, but he calls a heck of a game. I mean, he just calls great games on the sideline there.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same way. You're right. I'm sure Illinois does this. Like, if Jim Leonard's rumored for any job, Illinois would be remiss to not send that link to Austin Brown three times a day, right? Like, and try to make,
because every staff says, oh, we don't negative recruit. You don't have to, like, go hardcore about it. It's like, yeah, that guy, he might not be there long. Tell that to the dad or something, right? That,
yeah. And look, I don't know if they're gonna do that, but it's the point that, like, it's just what this business is and what recruiting is, and however you can get a leg up on somebody, you're gonna do it. And if that means saying, hey, yeah, I could see why you'd want to commit to Ryan Walters, but listen, I don't know, man, I think he's going to be getting on out of there soon. It's, you know, it's a compliment, but it also is helping the program recruiting against Illinois. So I just think that foundation and stability is so much of what, you know, Brett and Josh talked about, like, building sustained success. Stability is such a big part of that. And you don't, like, yeah, it's great if Ryan goes and gets a head coaching job. And I'm sure Brett would clap and cheer him all the way off to Willard Airport, right? Like, because that's what you do when your guy gets a promotion. But like, it's not good for business if every year you've got a coordinator coming in and out and in and out and in and out. I mean, you're shooting other guys up to the moon to get them promoted, but also you're like kind of losing some of that stability and getting all that going. So this is just a really big piece, man. And it's a really a testament to, I mean, it's obviously a testament to Ryan. He's getting paid and he got a promotion or he got a raise, but like for them to recognize that this had to be done now, like that tells me so much about Ryan Walters that like, we're not even going to open this door at all. This is it. Like, we want you here. It's just, there's a lot of pieces to it. It's kind of hard to try to find a way to digest all of them. This is a really big commitment for Illinois. And financially, it's huge. Like, he's, I mean, here we are. Like, we have fawned over Jim Leonard for like 3 years, right? And Ryan Walters is going to out-earn him.
Yeah. Ryan Walters is scheduled to make more money than him next year. I don't know how Paul Chris feels about that, but I'm sure Brett Bielema will tell him next time he sees him. Because Brett Bielema, that was a problem, right, at Wisconsin. His assistants did not get enough raises, lost some guys, and that's part of the reason he left for Arkansas, because they were willing to pony up. He sees in the Big Ten, like, he's got an athletic director that is willing to pony up, even though they haven't had a ton of success yet. But he recognizes success on the defense. And again, I think Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood was stung by Orlando Antigua and Chin Coleman leaving for assistant jobs, even at a blue butt. Like, he's like, hey, if you want a head coaching job and you get that head coaching job, love it. That's great for you. That's good for me, all of that. But to lose to an assistant job, I think really hurts. And I think the buyouts tell the story. And to be honest with you, I understand Illinois fans thinking Ryan Walters, you've seen 1 year of him. It's been unbelievable. He could be a head coach next year. I think even for a group of five schools, like, that's a leap, right? Like, I know Ryan Walters has been a DC for a while here, but he hasn't been the national name for a while. Like, if he continues to have success at Illinois and helps this turnaround, he can start to be that national name, possibly get a group of five job pretty soon here. Or if the right Power Five job opens in, say, 2 or 3 years and he's still having the success, I think that's the track he's on. I think the way the buyouts are structured, they were worried about coordinator jobs. They were worried about some SEC school probably coming to steal him. So just a couple final thoughts, but yeah, I think it says a lot about Josh Whitman, Brett Bielema, and Ryan Walters, just their commitment to this thing. And for Illinois not to lose somebody after 1 year, I think that's huge for Brett Bielema to build around.
And this is good for Ryan too, right? Like, this gives him, he's going to be taken care of very well financially here. And he gets a pick. Like, he doesn't have to just take the next head coaching job because it's a head coaching job. He can be a little picky. And if this defense continues on this route, you're exactly right. He's going to be that person that, I mean, I do it. I know you do it. Is anytime there's, you know, ESPN or The Athletic puts out a so-and-so got fired, here's who, I look through it because, one, you always want to make sure you're not missing any buzz on our end for our jobs. But you're curious. But if Ryan can get this going, like, that's going to be a guy that he can get it. Like, those are going to be lists he's on. And he doesn't, like you said, he just doesn't have to take.
He doesn't have to take the Akron job. Right? Like, you don't have, like, nowadays, I mean, look at the guys at Clemson. It's Tony Elliott that's been so patient, Brent Venables, and I know they're not having a great year, but Kirby Smart, look how patient he was. And he's like, I'd rather make $2.3 million as a defensive coordinator than under Nick Saban and not have my stock move at all than go to some group of five school. Right? Like, it just makes, you can do that. And you've seen it in basketball where guys, Tommy Lloyd stays at Gonzaga for 2 decades rather than jump at the first opportunity he gets. That might be a bad opportunity. So Ryan Walters doesn't have to take an Akron job, which has been a coaching graveyard. Like, he can wait. He can be patient. He can have success here under a coach he really likes, get paid even better, and then be picky about his job. I think that's the right way of going about it. Like, I think Orlando Antigua, at this point in his career, I know he wants to be a head coach. You got that ego. You want to prove yourself as a head coach. But under Cal, or under whether it was Underwood for the long term or now Calipari at Kentucky, you can sit there and be picky, man, and just be a seven-figure assistant and not lose your stock. Your stock's not going to really go down there. I think that's a good business move.
And you don't have to deal with a lot of the headaches that is being a head coach, right? Talking to us two or three times a week, or going to a donor this or a donor that, or, you know, whatever, booster here or there. You get to make a bunch of money and hang out.
Coach ball.
Talk ball, man. that's good living. Yeah. And I do want to say, Jeremy, as we think about recruiting, and obviously this has, I mean, I don't know how sizable of an impact, but it's going to have an impact on the trail. I mean, it's got to, right? It's interesting that how they're deploying Ryan on the trail, because remember when they kind of divvied up the state and had made their pockets, Brett said, I don't really want my coordinators out too much recruiting. You notice in Josh's statement in the press release, like recruiting was mentioned. I think, like, I'm sure they knew it, but like we're seeing how much they value Ryan as a recruiter too. Like this went from, we're going to, you know, he's going to always going to have his guys, just like Tony has his guys. But I think you're starting to see like, hey, this guy could like, he'd come in and really close or make things happen. And that's another interesting part is I thought that was striking that Josh mentioned that specifically in his statement in the press release, because we haven't, you know, it's, I guess with this staff, it's kind of hard to see who's the, like, you know who the lead recruiters are, but like lead recruiters aren't, you know, it's pretty much everybody at some point.
This is very much a staff all in. Like there are, like, George McDonald has been amazing. I think we know Corey Patterson's a good recruiter. Like Bart Miller, obviously with offensive linemen, is really good. But yeah, I think Aaron Henry, we know down in Florida, can do really well. And you just hear him talk and you're like, yeah, you're drawn to that guy. I'm drawn to Ryan. Whenever Ryan speaks, like, we lucked out here, Joey, because we get him probably at least for another year, maybe two. I enjoy talking with him because he gives you great insight. I think he's really intelligent. I think he's wicked smart when it comes to football. Like, I think he's really good. I just think he's really good, and he's a great communicator, and that comes across with the way his players play, the way his players talk about him, and, yeah, the way recruits have talked about him recently. I can see why he resonates with both, you know, 16, 18-year-old young boys, and then I can see why he resonates with parents, like, because he is a parent and he talks like a parent. So but he can also connect with these guys. So yeah, he's just a really impressive guy.
Yeah, he is. And it's easy to maybe miss out on some of that, 'cause he's not like the rah-rah, like flipping podiums and excitement type of coach. He's very just cool up there when he talks. So like, I know for first I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Like, how do we read this guy? But if you just listen to him, he's a blast. Like, his answers are thorough. He really gives some great insight. And you can see how that's going to play in the locker room, how it plays in the meeting rooms, how it plays on the recruiting trail. It's a really impressive hire. Like, when Brett hired George McDonald and Kevin Kane, we were like, wow, like they really closed with a splash. And maybe I just personally appreciate like how big of a hire Ryan was at the time. Because I think I was early on, and it's like the swoon of like, oh my God, what's going on here? But man, he has been just remarkable. And credit to that whole staff. I know he said it in his presser on Tuesday. They've just done a really good job of putting this whole thing together and elevating everyone's voice to make this work and being humbled at times, I would think. And, you know, hey, my idea isn't working. It certainly has had to have happened at some point, and just keeping this thing moving. What a hire and a big move by Brett Bielema and Josh Whitman to keep him around.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned every other defensive assistant, so I just want to give Terrence Jameson a little credit too, because Keith Randolph, Johnny Newton, Roderick Perry playing really, really well right now. So they've all developed those guys and put them in positions to succeed. And to the point where you're going into Iowa this weekend, ranked opponent on the road, thinking they got a chance because of the defense. Right? In Northwestern, you feel like this is your best chance to beat Northwestern. I think we've said that a couple times over this six-game losing streak, but you sit there and think we have a realistic chance because Northwestern's offense is awful and our defense is great. And if our offense just does enough, our defense will give us a chance to win the game. All right, great stuff, Joey Wagner. Appreciate it. If you missed any of our content over the weekend, we are loaded with football and basketball content, basketball especially. It could be a huge week ahead for Illinois football and basketball recruiting. Of course, Illinois basketball going to Marquette on Monday, big game, and then Illinois heading to Iowa to try and keep its bowl hopes alive and try to get their third straight road victory against a ranked opponent. How crazy is this? Joey Wagner, thanks, man.
It's been, appreciate it.
All right, if you missed, if you don't subscribe to the Illini Inquirer podcast, please do follow us, give us a rating, review, and as always, everybody take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.